Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Absolute pleasure to be with you on this Monday. A beautiful day today. Feels like autumn out there. Great win for Bucknell on Saturday, going up to Ithaca and winning. And congratulations to the Shikellamy Braves on their great win on Friday night. Let me guess, the call at the end is being requested as our play-by-play call of the day.
I was shocked. I actually did not get that request, either verbally or digitally. If you can find that hard to believe.
I do find it hard to believe. I assume we have it. I mean, Justin Turner's home run is going to be the call of the day. It's got to be.
But sure.
I'm sure we have the... Because, I mean, he wrote it. How long did it take him to write that?
Not sure. I should have said to him when I saw him for the first time this morning when I went into the building, have you already started your... You already started writing your lead-in for Friday night?
Now, who do they have Friday night?
They play Loyal Soc on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because he gets himself worked into a...
Lather? Tizzy?
Yes.
All the above?
When it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, Shikellamy has...
And then he goes out and does really great work, but he gets himself worked up over the...
Over nothing.
Yeah. Like, just settle down. You're doing great. It's all right.
Yeah, Lewisburg had a win over Bloomsburg on Friday night. Bloomsburg will take on Lewisburg this Friday night. That'll be senior night at Christie for the Green Dragons. But Green Dragons had another rough night last Friday night. One of their top players, Dylan Farinato, had an injury. On top of all the other injuries that team has been dealing with this season, that's definitely a crusher.
Well, you know what? I'm looking up at the scores, and the first thing I'm like, oh, I can't believe that had to be a heartbreaker for Milton. Oh.
And that game was 15-15 from midway through the second till the end of the game. And yes, and it all came down to a PAT. That was tough.
And then we had a college football weekend where there were no games with ranked opponents facing one another. And it was like the Wild West. Clemson lost to Syracuse Friday night. Washington State went to Berkeley and got run out by Cal, 37-3. Auburn's winning and they got the game. Lost to LSU in Baton Rouge. And then Washington loses, and I watched this game. I hung till 1:45 in the morning. Washington lost to Arizona State. So now there are six teams left in the ranks of the unbeaten. Six. In the world of survive and advance. And again, Penn State has the schedule that if they continue to survive and advance, you absolutely cannot deny them. There'll be a lot of talk about, the number two ranking, and about... That's great. That's perfectly fine. But it is a different era now. It's a different era. You got to be somewhere starting on October 31st, 2 weeks from tomorrow. You got to be somewhere within that top four. You got to be there. And it's that simple. That's what it is today. That's what it is today.
I think it's fantastic. The team right now is sitting at number two, but I want them there in early December. That's what it all boils down to.
I mean, this is fine. This shows the great progress and everything else you want to talk about with them. But there's a bottom line. There's a playoff. Hey, get to the playoff, if they keep winning with their schedule, they absolutely can't be denied. That's where it comes down to controlling your own destiny. And they've done it now six times. Now the next one's Michigan. And that will be Saturday night at 7:30 in Beaver Stadium. Game day will be here. Quick note on game day. I realize that there is a segment of the Penn State fan base that is not enamored at all with ESPN after everything 6 years ago, and not enamored at all with the people on game day that were there 6 years ago. You know darn well they're going to resurrect some of that as part of the story. You know, we have to tell stories, storylines. I'm like, okay, yeah, fine, sure you do. But we know they're going to. It doesn't take a genius to know that. But in the end, this is about the present and the future of Penn State football. Because the presentation in the end is going to be about, look where they are now. Look where they're going. James Franklin will be live on set. This is about James Franklin's program, James Franklin's time at Penn State, about James Franklin moving forward as the head football coach at Penn State. That's what it's going to be about in the end. That's what's going to be good about having both TV and radio game day here at Penn State. It is all about, in the end, current Penn State. In the end, current Saquon Barkley. In the end, future Penn State football. A program that many people think can be right there in the mix now every single year of consideration. In the end, that's what it's going to be about. Now, you know darn well they'll touch on some of the past to set up the present and the future. Just expect it, roll with it, and don't worry about it. Because it's, in the end, going to be what is actually the present and the future of Penn State. It's about James Franklin's current program and then setting up the game. You know, the vast majority of the show is going to be about all the other games across the country anyway. But there'll be a focus eventually on Penn State. So you got to think of it that way. You have to think of it that way, that is what it's going to mean. This is about positive publicity in the end for Penn State. And in the end, it will be positive publicity. Now, obviously, people are going to be uncomfortable with the path to get there, but accept that they're going to do it and just go forward with it. Because then there's going to be a 3.5-hour passion play of a game coming up at 7:30. And if Penn State does really well, when that's over with, all the focus is going to be on what they did, and that other stuff's going to be in the rearview mirror on that particular day. That's the way it is. Yeah, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. You know, this is going to, in the end, be about the positives of where Penn State is now, the positives of what Penn State's done the last 2 years, the positives of what James Franklin has done recruiting-wise, the positives of what Penn State's possibilities are, the positives of what Penn State's future can be. That, in the end, will become the dominant part of the story, okay? So bring them on, bring them in, set them up, and by noon it'll be over with, and then you can lock in on the game. I'm talking to my class today. Now, I like to talk to my class and get a read from them. You know, it's one thing for me to sit there and talk with my friends, you know, Eddie Russell, Ray Caravan, Sean, Jack, Dick, Gary Goloszewski, Randy Iles, whatever, right? Well, hey, what do you think about this, that, or the other thing. But these are all people that are in general in my age range. So when I get a chance to talk to my class, I am most definitely talking to somebody that is out of my age range. For the most part, they're between 20 and 22. I have juniors and seniors in my class. So they help give me a read. It's not a scientific view, but they help give me a read on how young people think. So this morning, in this morning's class at 8 a.m., I had 15 people in class. I had four missing. The usual car trouble, dog ate project. Took trip two, didn't get back in time. You know, I got a few of those emails. Like, okay.
Dog ate project. Thought they were all digital these days.
I know.
That it's excuse like, okay. is getting old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, believe me, there have been more funerals for aunts and uncles since I started doing this thing than I ever realized. Really? I'm not going to take the time to go look. So I asked them, I said, how many of you are going to game day? Now, I expected out of 15 that were there this morning, I thought maybe 8 or 9, because these are all big sports fans. I thought 8 or 9 would say yes. You know how many said yes? 3. 3. I said, that's it? Oh, yeah, that's kind of early for us. Like, it's kind of early. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you got to get there earlier than that. 7:30, 8 o'clock at a good spot. And I mean, that's a long commitment. This is what they're telling me. It's a long commitment.
They're saving it for the game, though. That's good.
This is not what ESPN wants. They want you to make the commitment.
They want a full boat. When they do those sky shots, they want to look down, and they don't want to see any grass or pavement.
Of course not.
No.
So, well, when it comes to my class, they got 20%. Now, if they get 20% of the student body at Penn State, all right, now you're in good shape. You're talking about maybe 7,000 to 10,000. That's pretty darn good. But something tells me that my class, which, by the way, is a sports broadcasting class, has a lot of sports fans in it. And they're like, oh, no, this is it's a little bit early in my schedule. Okay.
But it sounds like they're focusing on what matters, and that's the game itself.
Well,
am I looking into it too much, or just that it's too early in the morning?
It's just too early in the morning, Sean. Okay, when I was in college, there obviously was no college game day. In fact, ESPN started my senior year in college, September of 1979. Would I have gone to college game day if they had it then? Probably not, but not because I wouldn't have been awake or ready to go or anything like that. Nah, far from it. For me, it would have been like, I just want to go to the game. But that's the way I've always been. So that's it. So it's not unusual that I would think that way, because that's the way I've always been. I've always been. So I had, you know, the game was the whole thing. Then all the other stuff was stuff. But for some people, this is a lot of fun. So let them have some fun. Let them have some fun. First time game day's been here since 2009. All right. We will take a break. Be great to talk with Joe Susan about what was a great win. I'm sure we can find the ending of the Shikalimi game here somewhere as part of our play-by-play call of the day, right? We have it somewhere, don't we?
We got it somewhere here in the digital file.
Yeah, if you could find it, because, I mean, it's always fun to hear somebody read the end. It's just a joke. Come on. We're just having fun here.
We are.
All right. Okay, but it'd be fun to hear, because it's their first, what, outright conference championship in how long?
Well, the Heartland Athletic Ever? Conference has been in existence for 10 years, so yes. Yep, first outright title for Schick and the Hack. Correct.
Tell me they carried the suit to the car.
I saw him walking down the hall as I was in the middle of the game night on Friday night, and I didn't really... He didn't pop his head in the studio, come around the corner, and say, "You'll never guess what happened after the game." So, I guess not. Maybe they carried Horty to the car.
They measure me for a ring. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. Joe Susan in just a few moments. Great win at Cornell for Bucknell on Saturday. Great win. And Ross Tucker on the show today. Looking forward to that very much as well.
Yeah, it's Ross Tucker Monday here on WKOK. He was in the Man Cave with the Danettes on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. Yesterday he was in Baltimore covering the Ravens-Bears game, which ended up in overtime. Big win for the Bears. How about the Bears now knocking off two teams in the AFC North so far in 6 weeks?
Maybe they're the best team in the AFC North without being in it. And then there's the Steelers, who were great yesterday. The Eagles had the weekend off, yet they were great on Thursday night, and they really have kind of really an extended bye in all this because they don't play till Monday night next week. You have the Yankees and the Astros tonight. It's a big game for the Yankees tonight at home. Really would help their cause if they got on the board in this series. And the two games in Houston were really, really close. It's amazing. You're looking at the batting averages of the players that are 25 years and younger to 26 and older. There's a big disparity in batting average in the postseason between older players, 26 and older, and 25 and under players. I mean, big disparity. Despite the fact that so many of the young players in baseball are under 25 that are great players. All right, Joe Susan coming up next, then Ross Tucker on an all-Ross Tucker Monday. Our play-by-play call of the day, Dodgers suit. One dramatic and the other one historic. Well, locally historic. I'm sure if we played it in Los Angeles, they'd be like, really? Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Having trouble trying to figure out what new vehicle to buy?
Stop!
SMC has all your bases covered. Compare Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai, all at the dealer who has been satisfying more customers for over 100 years. 53 Ford F-150s starting at $23,994. Sunbury Motors has your compact SUVs covered. 46 Ford Escapes starting at $19,925. Take 3112 off all 17 Hyundai Tucsons. Kia Sportages start at just $23,553. SMC has your mid-size SUV in stock. Right now, 2018 Kia Sorentos start at $24,999 with 21 Sorentos to choose from. Take up to $49,49 off 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sports and up to $5,000 off a Lincoln MKX. Sunbury Motors has all your bases covered for your next new vehicle. Go to sunburymotors.com to compare your next new Ford, Lincoln, Kia, or Hyundai. Sunbury Motors, satisfying more customers, selling more cars. A tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. What a Saturday for Bucknell football. Very pleased to bring in the head coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Coach, congratulations. That had to be a fun one to be a part of on Saturday.
Thank you, Steve. It was a really great win for our players. It's funny, before the game on Saturday morning, I talked to him about Murderers Row, the Yankees teams of the mid-20s, and how Miller Huggins was approached by a reporter once, and he said, "What's the secret to your success?" He said, "Go up to any one of them, ask them their batting average, ask them their ERA. They won't know. All they want to do is beat you." And we kind of carried that over in the way we played, and we had some contributions from some players that really their first bolt of varsity action, and I thought they did well. And I'm excited about that win, and it really sets the table for the next one.
And that's the important part. It does set the table for the next one. Lombardi was the kind of guy, Joe, and I'm not telling you anything because you know a lot about other coaches, that after a game on Sunday night, he'd gather everybody at the house. And for the first, I don't know, three quarters of the get-together, and they'd have the house would be full for Marie and Vince Lombardi. And then about that last quarter, you could see his son said you could see the shutdown start to happen because he was starting to think about the next game. How quickly do you start to then concentrate on the next game yourself mentally where you can feel yourself moving to the next one?
You know what, after being at this for a little bit, obviously you enjoy the locker room right afterwards. But right after that, I change over. And it's just the way I am. People will come up to me and say, "How come you're not really happy?" And I said, "Because I know what I got to do next." And just the way certain people are wired, we have a rule around campus with our players that it's 24 hours. But I've always been, get on with what you got to do next. The opportunity to be back in the league with a chance to control our own destiny. It makes for a little bit more pressure, but I think that the way our players prepare, that they know that we're going to prepare for just it becomes the next most important game, and it's the only game we can have an impact on this week. And from my standpoint, I know what we've got to get ready for, and I know that John Garrett at Lafayette will have his team prepared. He's done a very good job with them in his first year there. I've known John for probably 35 years, and I know he's going to have an impact on that program, but this next Saturday we want to have an impact on their program.
Did you sense a step in the direction of complementary football and a complete way of playing?
I did. You know, we obviously when your defense plays the way ours did, and a lot of it goes back to we play very well on a tilted field, and Alex Peachin did an outstanding job in the first half of tilting the field for us. And the other thing we did in the third and fourth quarter is we controlled the clock. I think we got the ball back in the fourth quarter with like 9 minutes on the clock. We kicked a field goal with 3:15 left, and we made them use their timeouts. So you know, when they're operating with no timeouts, it forces their hand, and you know, we get to a point where we call it downtime. If a ball's turned over, our defense will just take a knee. If we achieve a first down, our offense will take a knee. It's a good place to be. We had to defend an onside kick because they did drive the ball and score, but it was a good kick, but it went right to the guy that we wanted it to go to. And but it was all three phases. We blocked a punt. We kicked four field goals for the first time since 1989. We had some explosive plays on offense, and we really did a good job against a pretty good quarterback, and we made him anxious. And when your quarterback is anxious, it really disrupted their timing and took away the run game. Their best player was out early in the game. I think that impacted them. But the other thing we do moving into this week, get a couple kids back, which is really going to help us. We get Joe Lauro back. We get Colin Johnall back. There's an outside chance we get the Andrew Hours, one of our tight ends, back. So the unfortunate thing for me as a tight end coach, I got four guys that can play. And there's only so many ways you can divide the pie. So they've been very nice to me since they know that there's four of them. They've got their academic sheets on time. You know, this is the first time in a long time that they've had them in by noon on a Monday. So trying to butter up the teacher, I guess.
Evidently. Joey DeFloria had 99 yards rushing in the game on 20 carries. In conjunction with the offensive line, the guys up front, what did it mean to the growth of what you want to do this season that a running game was established?
It really helps, obviously, in their confidence. We were challenged with movement. I think we did a very good job against movement. And I really credit our staff. We do a lot of run packages at the line of scrimmage, and our staff did a good job of setting that up, but the quarterback's got to execute it, and Joe really did a good job of finding creases and yardage after contact. Chad Fresnock did well. Omar Garcia did well, and we actually get Marquise Carter back this week, and Joe does have an ankle. He is not going to be a part of us this week, but goes with next man up. We'll rotate three backs this week with Fresnock, Marquise Carter, and Omar Garcia. So, the ability to run where you're supposed to run is directed by the quarterback, and to the ability to check to a pass when he needs to. He's done a very good job. John Schronzio has done a very good job of understanding how to manage the run game, how to manage protections. But being able to run the ball plays into, our first touchdown pass was off play action. And, people, if they sense you can run the ball, they have to load the box. Otherwise, it's a real slow death. When they do load the box, you take shots over the top in first and second down, and that's always been our philosophy, and it's nice to be able to do that.
Ben Richard had 11 tackles in this game on Saturday. What did you like about his game, and what did the people in front of him do to help set up his game?
Well, Ben is just so athletic and so explosive. But the one thing Ben did better in this game than in the previous game he played was he did his job. There are times where Ben, because of how good he is, tries to do his job and then somebody else's or part of somebody else's. And usually in that case, you get caught in the middle or you leave a gap unattended and they a good team will exploit it. He was very solid in terms of doing his job. And a lot of it's related to how our defensive front played. We had Trevor Fenimore, who's a defensive end. He played some defensive tackle. Nick Zorkowski, John Hunt, and then a young man named Simeon Page, who really had seven tackles, two sacks. And he's a freshman. And another freshman, Roger Maiato. Those kids are so athletic and hard. They're so hard to block because of their athletic ability. Now, if we had them standing still the whole game, I think the opponent, as most opponents are on the offensive line, 300-pounders, and we're not going to do that. It's hard to block something that's moving. And the movement aspect necessitates everybody else being right with their eyes and their assignments. And I think from a front six standpoint, we really did an outstanding job of executing game plan against a pretty good run team. A team ran 59 times the week before against Harvard, and we basically shut them down.
except for a 2 minute and 53 second span in the third quarter, you spent the vast majority of the day playing with the lead. Psychologically, what did that mean to your sideline?
You know, obviously, when you have the lead, especially in the second half, you go into a somewhat different mindset in terms of how you control the clock. And they tied it up with their first drive in the second half, and they had momentum, but momentum shifted immediately when they kicked off. Omar Garcia had a 49-yard kickoff return. And the last part of it, he was the kicker tried to tackle him, and he really hammered the kicker. And I saw the kicker, I watched the kicker walk off. I knew he was kind of jittery after taking it. But immediate change of field position, and we go in and score. When you start to play with a lead and the clock starts to be to your advantage, one of the things that we did between John Schwanzio and myself is I give him a milk signal where he's going to milk the clock without the other players in the huddle knowing it. There's subtle ways you can do that, and it really eats into the clock. And our last possession basically ate up over 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, and it really puts pressure on the opponent in terms of them having to score fast. The good thing about the way our team played with the lead is that they understand what they had to do to finish the game. And, you know, in this at this level in our league, you know, we crossed the Ivy League, we crossed the NEC, we crossed the Pioneer League. There's not a great deal of difference in terms of talent. So a lot of the games are going to be close and going to be fourth-quarter games. And this one got down to the last 18 seconds or 38 seconds. And it was nice to have the ball. And I keep telling my players the best play in football is victory offense. Mm-hmm. When it's run in the fourth quarter, sometimes you run it in the second quarter. It really doesn't count that way. But when you run it in the fourth quarter, that's a good play.
It sure is. Another one that has all the possibilities of also going down to the final few minutes is going to be your game with Lafayette. I know you have a lot of respect for what they do, as you mentioned in a previous answer. What are a couple of things right away that on the tape jumps out to you?
They have a freshman quarterback that's a really good player, and he is a freshman. We are going to do what we can to change up some of the looks that he sees, that pre-snap, post-snap. They have had some issues in terms of running the ball. We're going to make sure those issues are maintained. They're very good on defense in terms of their front six. Actually, they play a 4-3-4. I think their defensive line is very similar to some of the better defensive lines we've seen. We've got to be able to obviously control that and control their movement. They do a lot of different things in both from a movement standpoint, but also from an alignment standpoint. They'll play some four down, play some three down, and one of the challenges there with, I can't call them young anymore, with the offensive line doesn't have a great deal of game experience, is understanding how those alignments change your scheme. And good thing for us is that we just went over the first and second down game plan that our coaches once again have done a good job of making it manageable for the quarterback. And obviously you have to execute. And the other thing in the Cornell game, they turned the ball over basically twice, a fumble and a blocked kick, and we were 100% ball secure. So that's going to be a key factor in this one, especially if Lafayette cannot throw the, or cannot run the ball. They'll throw the ball a lot. And if we have the opportunities, turning it over there will be critical in the outcome of this game. And then we have a unique weapon in Alex Peachin. He can change the field, and he is so skilled at his craft in terms of the way he practices his craft. He's one of the best, I've said this before, he's one of the best athletes on the field. One of a coach that's actually in the Athletic Hall of Fame, Sid Jamison, former lacrosse coach here, was out to practice last week. He goes, "Joe, that kid's got the best arm on your team." Yeah. And I probably can't argue with that, but he's also the best punter, I think, in the nation. And it's nice to have that guy on your sideline.
Makes a big
difference. I'd like to keep him on the sideline more often than not, but sometimes he has to punt.
Yeah, the more he stands next to you, the better it is.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways. That's why somebody always said to me, "Well, yeah, the best kick-off return guy in the country." I said, "Yeah, I prefer they not use him."
All exactly.
Right, Joe, absolute pleasure. Congratulations on a great win.
Thank you.
Best of luck. I know you already zeroed in on Lafayette.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Sean. You guys have a great day.
You bet, Coach.
You too, Joe.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Next half hour, Ross Tucker will join us, and then George Schroeder from USA Today. That's next hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What time's Instagram? No?
Snapchat.
What do they do Instagram. Now? Is it Snapchat? What does he do now before the game?
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
Yeah, he'll do an occasional Facebook Live, yes.
So do you actually see them on camera? What do they do?
Yeah, you use the actual camera.
Tell me how that works. Is it like Skype?
It's kind of like that. Yeah, you use the camera, the video camera on your phone, and you're actually broadcasting live on the net through Facebook.
And they do this from what, 6:15 to 6:30?
Yeah, whenever Kevin feels like it. I mean, normally he'll jump on game day on Eagle 107. He'll do his Shikellamy preview. He and the coach will be on there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And sometimes he'll do a Facebook Live then after that, sometime between then and 6:30 airtime. He used to do it on Periscope. Now Facebook Live's just a lot easier.
Why don't they just do the pregame show on Facebook Live? People can watch it and listen to it at the same time.
How about that?
Just a thought.
That's a great idea.
That way they can watch them on Facebook Live, do the pregame show from 6:30 to 7, get the same info.
It's a great idea.
Now, maybe there's some sort of broadcast issue with that. I don't know. And that way it would combine radio access with the internet.
It's a cutting-edge idea you got there.
Hey, don't look at me. You're lucky I even know what Facebook is.
Face chat. Snapbook.
Oh, no.
Instabook.
No, Bill O'Brien always called it Spacebook.
He did. That was great.
He always called it Spacebook. What do they call it? Spacebook?
What did Belichick call it? Snapface or something? He said that in a presser, I remember, a couple years ago. Something like that.
Yeah. It's like I said, I'll talk to my class. And ask them to get a read on what young people think. By the way, Louisville has officially fired Rick Pitino. So that they have voted to terminate his contract. Now everybody knew that was going to happen. Colin Kaepernick filed a grievance claiming collusion. There's some things about this that people should know. Number one, the key is going to be during discovery. There are a couple things here. One is, if he turned down any free agent offers, that doesn't matter about collusion. So that actually would not matter if he was actually offered an opportunity somewhere. All right, that's one. Number two, if you're one of those who has the argument, well, he's better than some of the starting quarterbacks in the league, completely irrelevant argument. They tell you to get out of court right away if that was your argument. That doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sure the suit thinks he's better than half the NFL play-by-play guys, and they're doing the job, and he's the suit, pushing digital media. Now, he very well may be better than some of the NFL play-by-play guys. Kevin does a great job. But it's not collusion against him. It's they chose somebody else. So the argument that Kaepernick's better than some NFL starters is actually irrelevant. What will be relevant is that through notes, memoranda, text messages, email, something where they could find two owners saying between them that they would not sign him over this issue. Now you've got a collusion case. And that can only happen through discovery. The other part about he's better than some NFL starters, that's irrelevant, means nothing. The fact that a couple of teams offered him or may have discussed with his agent a free agent contract also actually doesn't count in this as well. Now, Green Bay says they're not going to sign them. after the Aaron Rodgers deal yesterday. Interesting. Ross Tucker next.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.